I always feel like somebody's watching me. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaels.
And don't you dare think that I won't big that song up and put it on the intro and the exit.
Just make sure that we don't have to pay a royalty fee. Chuck, I tagged that at the opening of the program, not just so that people would be humming that in their heads, but because this is one of these days where you and I get a setback and say, we told you so. Those are kind of fun days. It's not fun in one sense, ladies and gentlemen, because usually it means we were right about some gross invasion of your privacy, some massive removal of your liberties, or some trampling on our constitutional rights done by government. This day's really no exception to that, is it, Chuck? Because you were out there looking around and found some information. An article written by a gentleman by the name of Steve Watson, and he posted it on a site called Infowars.com, which I'm sure that some of our listeners are familiar with because that's the homepage for radio personality Alex Jones and his website, Infowars.com. Normally, Chuck, you and I are both very hesitant to uncritically accept things that are posted on the website of Alex Jones. This one we thought was fairly interesting because we kind of guessed this one ahead of time. Chuck, since you found it, I'm going to let you be the one who lays it out for everybody what we're talking about.
Turns out that, surprise, surprise, you can look back in our archives at www.principledpolicy.com. We ran a series on drones, and we did speculate the idea that drones wouldn't be used against private citizens to look at anything that they were doing in their backyard. That was complete nonsense.
Chuck, I was just going to say, just for those who maybe have not listened beforehand, when we say drones, we're not talking about really boring people at your office parties. We're talking right. about unmanned aerial craft, i.e. anything from the size of a small hummingbird all the way up to the size of a moderate-sized jet airplane that is unmanned, i.e. there's nobody in it. It's all done electronically by radio controls or electronic controls, and they're used for spying, surveillance, and in some instances, and especially in some foreign theaters, for the delivery of a payload that's usually explosive in nature.
Or 20-millimeter cannons or any number of different kinds of weaponry. In the United States right now, they've been approved for use as quote-unquote law enforcement enhancement. The Air Force is saying now, and the only reason I bit on this story from InfoWars, and I always try to be a little more careful when I read stories from InfoWars, was because they had some links directly to some documents. And honestly, you know, unless somebody's sitting around ginning up Air Force documentation, this is the real deal.
Yeah, but we know Dan Rather's no longer with us, so I don't think we're ginning up any documentation.
I just saw an interview with him, and he still says, even though everybody says it was fake, it was real. He's convinced, so don't confuse me with facts on Dan's part. And a lot of people that we'll be talking to will take the same attitude on this. Don't confuse me with facts. This will not be used illegally to do illegal surveillance on American citizens. And yet here it is. The Air Force document says drones can be used to spy on Americans, and the incidental surveillance data, and you know what that is.
Yeah, that means we just happen to be flying in the area where you live or where you were conducting business, and there was a certain kind of plant that we had to get a good picture of, and it just so happened to be right next to your open piece of paper document, so we had to take a picture of it. And since we got all of your information in that picture, that's just incidental to what we were really after, which was a great picture of that exotic plant over there.
Yeah, exactly. And incidental data can now be kept for up to 90 days.
That's right. Now, folks, this is the Air Force briefing some of their employees on these type of things because, according to law, you can't have our government, which the extension of it is the Air Force and other military branches, used in domestic operations against American citizens. In other words, posse comitatus type thing. But they said, now, wait a minute, we cannot legally conduct what they called non-consensual surveillance. Chuck, how much consensual surveillance is going on out there where somebody comes to the military or to the federal government and says, hey, I want you to put a tail on me, watch my every move, go through my mail, look at my email records and everything I've sent and everything I've done online, who I talk to, what magazine subscriptions I get, what books I check out of the library. Can you guys keep an eye on that for me?
Yeah, well, the real question is, why is the Air Force running surveillance in the United States? And normally the Air Force, yeah, sure, they patrol the borders and that kind of thing, but are they really scared about some kind of foreign aircraft penetrating American airspace that they have to fly around with all these unmanned drones? No, the whole point is that they're out there doing surveillance for federal intelligence agencies. That's the bottom line here, Barry. The incidental data is coming in from internal spying by American intelligence agencies. So the bottom line here is that we're being spied on. The excuse is that, well, we're only going to keep the data for 90 days. Unless, of course, someone says, you know, you better hold on to that because you weren't looking at that guy, but we're looking at him.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting in this article. And again, this article was written by a gentleman by the name of Steve Watson, who was writing for Infowars.com. He stated that in this document that they have, and they have it posted online to FAS.org. So yeah, it's coming directly from the government. They've even linked to the government site where this document occurs, and said when we collect this imagery, this data, and that's what they call it, data, you know, imagery. If you take a photo of you, incidentally includes a person or private property without consent, that basically they can take this 90-day window to use the data, that's the imagery, whatever they've captured, to assess, and I quote, whether that information may be collected under provisions of a couple of Department of Defense manual procedures and permanently retained. So in other words, we're going to take 90 days to look at this stuff that we collected illegally to see if we can keep it permanently. And then they keep going, also, we want to use this because we want to determine that, and Chuck, I love this argument, which is an excuse, but it's an excuse that we hear so often nowadays, considering how quickly our liberties are being taken from us by these directives and by these laws that are being passed. And it said that we wanted to hold on to this data and review it so we can determine whether these are persons or organizations reasonably believed to be engaged or about to engage in international terrorist or international narcotics activities. First of all, Chuck, they'd have to have a pretty good suspicion to start with.
Well, that's the whole point. My question would be, quote unquote, reasonable. What does that mean? That's one of the wiggle words that's been used in the Constitution to create all kinds of havoc. And the fact is that reasonable would be, from my viewpoint, would be good enough to get a search warrant.
Right.
Unfortunately, these guys don't need a search warrant. They've already got the information that they wanted, and they got it surreptitiously. That's kind of, not to get too circular here, first of all, define reasonable. And what could you gather from the air? I suppose there's something, but what kind of information could you gather from the air that's going to show you that you're about to engage in international drug activity?
Well, that was my thought as well, is how do they know that you're reasonably believed to be engaged? So if you're physically handing over a packet of narcotics to somebody, maybe that's engaging, but they're using that word international in order to make you think they're only going after the foreign bad guys. But that's not true, because the point is that they're saying here, first of all, if they're going here and they're looking for a certain person or they're looking for a certain type of activity, and we talked about on a previous program them going after the guy who was hiding out on his 3,000 acres with a couple of guns because he kept somebody six cows. If they know what they're going after and they're looking, we got a 3,000 acre farm and we're looking for two or three people who are all kind of banded together away from the main farmhouse somewhere out there on these 3,000 acres, you got a reasonable idea of what you're after. But if these planes are flying over and they take a picture, are you telling me they're going to use the excuse, well, we had a reasonable suspicion that they may be about to potentially engage in the future in some kind of international narcotics or terrorist activity? Chuck, all that is what you call a stall game, because they go on in the instruction to say that the Pentagon can then disseminate the data to other governmental agencies at its own discretion. So in other words, the Pentagon sits there and says, well, we're kind of prohibited from doing anything with this because of our rules. Hey, let's kick it over to the CIA or to the FBI and let them use it.
Exactly. This is a shell game. This is the same shell game they've been using for years. The CIA has for years and years and years now, what, 35 years or something, maybe longer than that, been precluded from doing domestic intelligence work.
Right.
But the fact is that they just simply call it over to one of the FBI or some other intelligence agency and let them do the work. It really is sort of the old days when they quote-unquote broke up the trusts in the late 19th century, early 20th century. What it did was it forced these guys to take their wallet out of their left pocket and put it in their right pocket. It really didn't change anything, and that's the same thing with these surveillance things, these rules against domestic intelligence work. They don't really stop. They just turn it over to somebody else and let them gather the information, and they still get it. Because don't kid yourself, it hasn't always been. The whole thing behind the Patriot Act was that the intelligence agencies were supposed to be able to share intelligence more easily. Well, they've never had trouble sharing intelligence. What they've had trouble with is sharing jurisdiction. These guys, they get kind of excited and get territorial on who's supposed to do what, when, where. And it turns into the frat boys fighting over who's really got the most authority, which is kind of a sad thing. The bottom line is, they've never been stopped from doing any surveillance by any of the laws. The CIA doesn't care about the law. Only when it comes time to do congressional hearings, when they get caught with their hand in the cookie jar, do they care. And that's the bottom line here, Barry. These things are designed not to protect criminals. They're designed to protect you and me from intrusion and invasion of our privacy. And you and I both know, we've all heard it, if you have nothing to hide, then you have nothing to fear. And that's not the point. Because as the federal government and state and local governments become less cognizant of your rights and more cognizant of their power and authority over and above everything else, they will begin to look for things to gig you on and fine you for and take your property away and fine you and jail you. As we see more and more and more and more, we see the state saying that control is more important than freedom, more important than liberty. And therefore, we have to have all this surveillance in order to keep track of what it is that you are doing. And so this idea that the innocent have nothing to fear is nonsense, because as the laws become more and more and more onerous, everyone can be found to have committed a crime. There is no one who probably hasn't committed some kind of crime. If you accidentally spilled oil in your driveway, you've committed an environmental crime. Perhaps you didn't follow directions properly when you sprayed pesticide or an herb killer on your yard. You're in violation of some federal law. The fact is that as the laws become more onerous, it becomes easier and easier and easier to break one. And as the surveillance becomes more and more and more invasive, it becomes easier and easier and easier to find out that you broke a law. That's not justice, and that's not liberty, and it's not freedom.
Oh, absolutely not. Well, Chuck, I think it's interesting because as you were talking here, I was looking over, and I actually went to this particular Department of Defense directive. First of all, it says that on the very top of the page, it says that it's a mandatory directive. In other words, there's no way around this for someone in the Air Force to be able to say, I can't do this. I don't want to collect this information. They break down through it about, hey, well, we've got all this domestic imagery. That's what they call it. Because, first of all, they're saying that this is going to be utilized through satellites and other things, including aerospace, whether manned or unmanned, units to collect this data. So that brings our drones into it. So it's in there. And they have all this information, and they can review it and analyze it, decide whether or not it's of any use to them or not. But it says here that domestic imagery is what they're calling it, is defined as any imagery collected by satellite, national or commercial, and airborne platforms that cover the land areas of the 50 United States, the District of Columbia, and the territories and possessions of the U.S. to a 12 nautical mile seaward limit of these land areas. Do you notice that it's collected by a commercial satellite as well? So it isn't just limited to the government's drones. They can get all the imagery from private ones as well.
Yep, exactly, and that's the problem.
That's a big problem. Now, they said we have some legally valid requirements for having this domestic imagery. And they talk about natural disasters and environmental studies and training exercises. But then they get to one called Counterintelligence Force Protection and security-related vulnerability assessments. So they're going to be looking at, is anybody getting close to any of our sensitive areas? What are they doing around them? I mean, we talk about Big Brother, but it's not even funny to talk about Big Brother because this goes well beyond that.
Unfortunately, Barry, you know what?
We're going to be out of time. Now, there's just one quick thing I wanted to go through there, and that is that this directive prohibits the distribution of this imagery to parties other than those identified in the approved directive unless the recipient is reasonably perceived to have a specific lawful governmental function requiring it. Maybe like the IRS or the Department of Agriculture or whomever it might be.
Yeah, or the EPA.
I do feel like somebody's watching me, Chet.
I do. Me too. Hopefully, instead of watching us, you'll tune in tomorrow and listen to us on another Principles and Policies.